Week we started in Proverbs, and what I shared last week, Proverbs written by Solomon, the wisest of men, the author of many of the Proverbs, not all the Proverbs, but many of them. We read in 1 Kings 4 that God gave Solomon wisdom. This wisdom is from God. The wisdom that he had was from God. In 1 Kings chapter 1, or 4, verse 31, it says, his wisdom was greater than any other man. In verse 32, it says he spoke over 3,000 proverbs. So from this, we see Solomon, great king, a wise king. He was famous. He was rich. He was powerful. He was supreme. I mean, all the nations, the surrounding nations, everybody came to Israel, and they sought out Solomon and the wisdom of Solomon. People bowed down in his presence. People did what he said. So today I want to begin with 1 Kings 2, verse 19. I think I've got this up here. Yeah, 1 Kings 2, 19. And listen to this here. When Bathsheba, that's Solomon's mom, when Bathsheba went to King Solomon to speak to him for her son Adonijah. Okay, should practice that one. Well, right here, the king stood up to meet her. And he bowed down to her. And he sat down on his throne, and he had a throne brought for the king's mother, and she sat down at his right hand. Here, King Solomon, the wisest man, the richest man, the most powerful of all men at that time, he stood up to meet his mother. He bowed down to his mother. He had a throne brought in for his mother. And I just think right here, the point is even kings should bow down to their mothers. That's what the wisest of men did. We would be wise to follow his footsteps. So he writes many of the Proverbs, and last week we were in Proverbs 1, and let me pick it up here, Proverbs 1, verses 7, 8, and 9. Just three verses today that I want to focus on. Go back to one of the verses that we talked about last week, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and discipline. And then he goes on, listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They will be a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. Now, just in those three verses here, I've written down six insights, six things that I want us to look at, six things I want us to see. And first thing that I want you to see, I want us to understand that God's design is the family. Listen, my son, to your father's instructions, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Right there you see son and father and mother. What is that? That's the family. That's God's design is the family. Just like you think about God's creation, you think about all the things that God has blessed us with, the northern lights, if anybody saw that. I didn't, but you know, all those things. The sun, the moon, the stars, the four seasons, the human body, the ecosystem, all these wonderful things that God created. One of the wonderful things that God created was the family. God's design. It's God's idea, God's plan, God's way. For years, this was just understood. Everybody just, that was normal. And I think we took it for granted. And I don't think we can take it for granted any longer. The family has been attacked and redefined and deconstructed. But the family was the original plan ordained by God. You see it in Genesis chapter 1. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him male and female. He created them. Notice male and female, not just one gender, not 750 genders, male and female. That was God's design. In verse 28, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. What was it? Be fruitful and multiply. What was it? Have children. God made man, God made woman, said have children. In chapter 2, verse 24, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. For this reason, a man will leave his family and take a wife and start his own family. And what is it? Malachi, we read this just a second ago. In Malachi, has the Lord not made them one in flesh and spirit? They are his. And why one? Because he was seeking godly offspring. He's seeking godly offspring. This is God's will. He designed the family for godly offspring. The tragedy is today God's ordained structure of man and woman, created in God's image, reflecting God's glory, living in a covenant relationship with God, cleaving to one another and becoming one flesh. This has been attacked. It's been rejected. It's been redefined. And many of us have not experienced the ideal family because of sin, because of rebellion to God, because of rejection of God, because of maybe it's death, maybe it's divorce, maybe it's dysfunction. We've all been affected by it. And God has been faithful. Even though we have not, many of us have not experienced the ideal family, God has still blessed many of us and brought us back to a relationship with Him. But I want us to see His plan, His design is for us to raise children with a mother and a father in a covenant relationship. A mother and father who fear the Lord, who instruct and teach their children to fear the Lord as well. So God's design is the family. God's purpose, and what it says in verse 8, listen, my son, to your father's instructions and do not forsake your mother's teaching. His purpose is for education and instruction within the family. You don't just bring a child into the world and say, hey, look at me, did it. Okay, you bring a child into the world and you teach them, you instruct them. The family is the original homeschool. Family is not just a place to be fruitful and multiply. It's a place to instruct and teach, and we teach manners, and we teach values, and we teach discipline, and we teach skills. The family is where the next generation is born. The family is where the next generation learns how to live. Now, I read this. I thought this was interesting. Two Russian psycholinguists. I can't say their names, I won't try. Says they spent years studying how children's inner speech develops and how children eventually use it to control their own behavior. According to their findings, parents give directions to their children, such as put the toy in the box or watch for cars before you cross the street. You know, these instructions that they give their children, and children hear these attempts to provide structure and direction. Eventually, they say these directions to themselves. So what you're telling your child, these basic instructions, they start repeating these instructions to themselves, and children, that's how children learn how to control their own behavior, by talking to themselves using the script provided to them by their loving parents. I thought that was interesting. That's how they're learning behavior. You just share basic, simple instructions to them, and that is how they learn to live. Life doesn't come naturally. Sucking comes naturally, breathing comes naturally, crying comes naturally, but talking, reading, these things need to be learned. Saying thank you, that is a learned behavior. Being grateful is a learned behavior. Being respectful is a learned behavior. What is right and what is wrong is a learned behavior. And so you got to understand how critical mom and dad are in this. So the family is God's school. It's a primary responsibility of a mother and father. Teach your children. And what is the curriculum? What is it you're teaching them? According to the Word of God, what are you teaching? You're teaching them to fear the Lord. You go back to verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and discipline. So it's not just how to walk and how to talk and how to tie your shoes and, you know, what the primary colors are. You're teaching them to fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Nothing makes sense in this world without God. Science doesn't make sense without God. I thought this was hilarious. Milton Berle, he said this, if evolution really worked, how come mothers still only have two hands? Huh? Think about that. Right. All right, so yeah, obviously, evolution, what a joke. Okay, so nothing makes sense without God. Science doesn't make sense without God. I would tell you, history doesn't make sense without God. I love history. And the reason I love history was in Bible college, I took a class on the history of the church and saw God on every page. That didn't happen when I was in school, in public school. But when I go to Bible college and you see God throughout history, I can do the same thing with American history. You can see God through it all. But you take God out of it, it's boring. All you people who are bored by history is because somebody taught you history without God. But you learn history with God, it comes alive. Math, I would tell you, math makes no sense without God. Music makes no sense without God. All these, God is in all this here. So you teach your children to fear the Lord. George Sweeting, he says, a child in your home may become a brilliant scholar. He may receive a degree in honor and fame, but if he does not learn to know and honor God and his word, he will grope and tumble and stumble through life as a failure and as a fool. I shared with you last week the benefits of the wisdom of having the fear of the Lord. And I just want to share some of these. I don't have it listed up here today, but what I said last week, the fear of the Lord can prolong life is what it says in Proverbs 10. The fear of the Lord helps us be wise and understanding is what it says in Proverbs 8. It can bring wealth and honor and fruitfulness. It can produce humility and a hatred for pride and what is evil. Once again, in Proverbs 8, the fear of the Lord brings God's presence and provisions and blessings is what it says in Psalm 34 and Psalm 112. The fear of the Lord brings power. The fear of the Lord leads to life. The fear of the Lord brings protection and guidance and knowledge and confidence and joy and contentment, prosperity and long life. I said all this last week. So parents, your number one responsibility is to teach your children to fear the Lord, to walk in the fear of the Lord so they can be blessed in all that they do. Fear the Lord. Okay, where am I? Number four here. God's teacher. Okay, God's design, the family. God's purpose is to educate and instruct. God's curriculum is to fear the Lord. Who's the teachers? The teachers are mom and dad. And it's a shared responsibility between a mother and a father. Listen, my son, to your father's instructions. Listen and do not forsake your mother's teaching. So it's a shared responsibility. Not the father instructs while the mother changes diapers. Nope. Or the mother instructs while the father goes off to work. Not certified teachers. No, it's mom and dad. Fathers instruct, mothers teach. George Barna, he says, 96% of parents believe they have the primary responsibility for teaching their children values. You would agree with that, right? 96% of the people believe this. Parents, the buck stops here with the parents. It's my responsibility to teach my children values. However, a follow-up survey revealed that very few parents spend any time during a week teaching their children biblical values. We all say it's our responsibility, but very few people are doing it. I would ask you be faithful. You be the person who's doing this. You teach your children the ways of God. Campbell Morgan, he was a preacher, a famous preacher. He had four sons who all became ministers of the gospel. So you got Campbell Morgan, you got his four sons, and somebody went up to one of the sons and asked, which Morgan is the best preacher? That's a dangerous question, right? The son looked at his father, said, Mom. You think about things that a mother teaches. A mother teaches religion when she says you better pray that Kool-Aid stain comes out of that carpet. She teaches logic when she says, because I said so, that's why. She teaches foresight. Make sure you wear clean underwear in case you're in an accident. Foresight right there. Irony. She teaches irony. Keep crying. I'll give you something to cry about. Teaches osmosis. Shut your mouth and eat your supper. Teaches a stamina. You'll sit there until that spinach is gone. Teaches you about weather. Your room looks like a tornado went through it. Teaches you about the circle of life. I brought you into this world. I can take you out. She teaches you behavior modification. Stop acting like your father. Teaches you anticipation. Just wait until your father gets home. You think about the things that we've learned along the way, thanks to our mother. You go back to make sure you have clean underwear on. Why? Why? Anybody know? In case you're in an accident? I really don't know if I remember Mom saying that, but I've heard it all my life. I don't know where it came from. Don't sit too close to the TV. Have you heard that one? Clean your plate. There's starving people in Africa, so you got to eat all your food. Go ask your father. Some of these things that mother teaches you. And I read this. I thought this was interesting here. The wisdom behind some of these things that mother teaches us. When she says, make sure you're wearing clean underwear in case you're in an accident. What does she do? She's teaching you hygiene. She's teaching you that life is uncertain. You need to be ready at all times. She's instilling in you a healthy sense of shame. Do what's right, even if it's unseen, and hopefully it will be unseen here. But was it Numbers 32? Be sure that your sin will find you out. So if you question your mom on some of this wisdom, you just wait. It will find you out. You know, Hebrews 4:13 says, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Therefore, wear clean underwear. Okay, it's not in there. Be ready. Be ready at all times. Don't sit too close to the TV. Why? Why did they say that? It's bad for your eyes, right? So I read this. Mrs. Jean Luber, she's a professor of zoology at the University of Alberta. She exposed 20 chickens to TV 24 hours a day. Who does that, okay? For 2.5 months. And she found the chickens exposed to continual viewing developed glaucoma. And they were blinded and staggered around in a daze. Mother knows best, right? So when she tells you to get away from TV, get away from TV. But it's not just because it's bad for your eyes. Jesus says your eye is the lamp of your body. And when your eyes are good, your whole body also is full of light. But when they are bad, your body also is full of darkness. And Jesus was warning us that long ago, what moms have been trying to tell us for years, getting too close to the TV, getting too close to some of the physical things in this world, too close to mentally and psychologically, is bad for you. The average child has seen 8,000 murders on TV before they enter sixth grade. Is that okay? You think that's healthy? You think that's good? We sing a song, not on Sunday morning, but you know, in children's church, oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little eyes. Because you're letting things into your soul through your eyes. So back away from that TV a little bit. Your mother's teaching you the importance of not getting too close to the things of this world, not getting too close to the values of this world, not getting too close to the ways of thinking of this world. Your mother's protecting your eyesight and your insight. When she tells you to clean your plate, why you got to clean your plate? You don't know this one? Because of all the starving kids in Africa? She's teaching you geography. She's teaching you suffering and economics and that we need to be thinking about others and we need to be grateful for what we have. We shouldn't waste all of God's blessings, all of God's resources. When she says, go ask your father, to which the typical response is, you go ask your father, and the father says, I don't know, go ask your mother. Not helpful. But what is she doing? This is a great discipline. She's giving you great advice. Go ask your father, not just your earthly father, your heavenly father. She's teaching you the discipline of prayer. And when you're not certain about something, when you're unsure about something, go ask your heavenly father. Call upon the Lord, and he will answer. What a beautiful thing that mom is teaching you. All these things. Behind the little thing is much bigger things, the instructions of your mother. So God's instructions are from your mother, from your father, to the student here, the sons and daughters. And what does God tell the sons and daughters here? Verse 8, listen, my son, do not forsake. Listen to your father's instructions. Do not forsake your mother's teaching. Listen to them. What is mom trying to tell me? You know, what is she trying to communicate here? When she says, take out the trash, what does that mean? That means all the trash, okay? That means also the trash that's around the trash can. The Amazon boxes, take all of it out. When she says, clean the kitchen, that means all the kitchen, okay? It means all of it. When she says, be home at 11, that means before 11, okay? So what is mom, listen and understand. What is she trying to communicate? And don't forsake your mother's teaching. What is that? When it says don't forsake it, what does that mean to you? That remember it. Don't forget. Don't forget. Well past the time you're 18. When the Bible says to honor your mother and father, that you know that's one of the commandments here, the fifth commandment, so you may live a long life. When God says that, did he put a time limit on that? You know, until you're 18? Is that what God said? God didn't say that. You honor your mother and father today. And tomorrow, and next year, and 20 years from now, and 30 years from now, 50 years from now, listen to them. Remember what they said. Remember what they've taught you. And then all this leads to the last one here, the award ceremony. Look at verse 9 here with me. They, your mother's teaching, will be a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. What is that? That's bling. All right. Listening to your father's instructions and not forsaking your mother's teachings makes you look good. Okay? There's the biblical principle. You listen to them, it makes you look good. In all these verses here, we see God's emphasis on the importance of the family. The children need both a mother and a father. That's God's design. It's the role of both mother and father to instruct and teach and educate their children. The primary subject they are to teach them is to fear the Lord, to be in awe of the Lord, be in reverence of God. It's the children's role to listen and to understand and to remember these instructions. And these instructions will make the children beautiful. It's a beautiful thing when children learn from their parents to fear the Lord. So all the children in this room, if you were born from a mother and a father, okay? I'm trying to cover all my bases here, right? All children in this room, are your actions honoring your mother? Foolishness brings grief and disgrace and pain. You see on the back of your outline, there's a couple verses about that. What does it say? Do not despise your mother when she is old. May your father and mother be glad. May she gave birth to you. A foolish man despises his mother is what it says in Proverbs 15. A foolish son grieves his mother. Foolishness brings grief. It brings disgrace. It brings pain. So the Proverbs here, what Solomon has taught us, we need to get wisdom and we need to fear the Lord. We need to make Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior. And to all the children in this room, I'm telling you that the greatest gift that you can give your mother today is to give your life to Jesus Christ.